Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Knowing Christ Ministries on Blog Talk Radio and our series, Before the Rapture, where we're covering topics to help assure that you are rapture ready. Last week, we started a series on the armor of God. And I mentioned this is supplemental information on the Armor of God series that we actually ran in our broadcast on spiritual warfare a number of years ago, and it's available in our archives. So for some people, this might be review, and it assumes you know some of the basics of the armor of God, but it's really important for this insane world we're living in right now to reexamine them in light of what's going on in 2021. So let me start with reading what Scripture tells us about the armor of God. Basically, it comes from Ephesians chapter 6, and most people think that's the only place it's mentioned, but throughout the series, you're seeing that it's actually mentioned in many other areas of Scripture, both the Old and New Testament. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For while we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. That's the second time he mentions whole, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, what does Paul say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12? Because remember, we're actively engaged in spiritual warfare. He says we're fighting a spiritual war, and the stakes now are higher than ever before. And we know this because we're nearing the tribulation times. Kevin Halloran states, any smart soldier in battle takes his role very seriously. He needs to train both his mind and body for the perils of war and the wiles of the enemy if he can come out victorious. He needs to know his own weaknesses, strengths, and strategies, enemy, and where his strength comes from. If he fails to follow protocol and the commands of his commander, it could mean danger for him and his platoon. It didn't cost them their lives. Well, the same is true for Christians who are soldiers in God's army. We have to put on the whole armor of God to stand against the schemes of Satan and fight for the truth of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, which I just read, the Apostle Paul calls Christians to wear the protective armor of God and wield the spiritual weapons given to us. We put on the spiritual armor of God to engage in spiritual warfare by applying truth, living righteously, proclaiming the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, donning salvation as a helmet, and fighting with God's word as our sword. People, the only recourse that we have is to fight on the spiritual level with the spiritual tools the Lord gave us for this purpose. So what is the armor of God? It's the belt of truth, which we talked about last week. It's the breastplate of righteousness, which we're going to get into this week. It's the shoes of peace. It's the shield of faith. It's the helmet of salvation. It's the sword of spirit. And in many other areas, and it's not included in Ephesians, but some people consider the cloak of zeal, which we will talk about in this series, as part of the full armor of God. And remember, I mentioned in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 17, it references the armor of God. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Well, there we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. So last week, and I asked you,
specifically some questions last week. Can the armor of God be worn or put on if we still follow the ways of the world and belong to darkness? Absolutely, positively not. You have to have righteousness in your heart. What are we talking about? The breastplate of righteousness today. That has to carry you through the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. These all refer to your faith in God, your imputed righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Jesus. So if you still follow the ways of the world and belong to darkness, no, armor of God's not going to do any good. Can you pick and choose which parts of the armor you want to wear? What does Scripture say? Put on the full armor of God, the whole armor of God. So anyway, last week we talked about the belt of truth, and we said, just summing up, the belt of truth represents the truth of Scripture as God's Word, living a life of integrity and honesty, and three, total commitment and zeal, there's that word again, zeal for Jesus Christ. So today I want to pick up with the breastplate of righteousness. So what do we know? Well, directly connected to the belt of truth is the element protecting your vital organs. The breastplate for the Roman soldier would be like our modern equivalent of, say, a bulletproof vest that police officers or soldiers would wear. Because while we want to protect our arms or legs from harm, you know, with other pieces of armor, the fact of the matter is, if you're in battle and you lose an arm or leg during hand-to-hand combat, you could theoretically live with them, depending what, you know, major artery may or may not have been severed if you bleed out. But you won't live very long without your heart or without your other internal organs. Thus, the breastplate is essential. So what do we know? The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes recognition of the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's what I was mentioning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, Christ took our sins and replaced it with his righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness also represents our practical righteousness. If we live a righteous life, we're protected from Satan's attacks. It doesn't mean the attacks will be stopped. It means we will be protected. And the breastplate of righteousness also represents guarding our minds and emotions. What do we know from Scripture? Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers. So let's get into a little bit of application. The righteousness that God is telling us to put on, which protects our vital organs and is essential for our spiritual survival, speaks of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. You can call it imputed righteousness, which I've done, because it describes how God sees Christ when he looks at us. You might say, me? Righteousness? I don't think so. You doubt it because you know yourself. Sometimes we don't behave as righteously as we ought to. But we're righteous before God, not because what we've done, but because of what Christ has done for us. His righteousness was given to us, not obtained through what we do for him. So here's where that little twist comes in. Sometimes you might think that if you're doing fairly well, you can approach God. Let's say you had a good week. You read your Bible every day. You've gone to a couple midweek services at church. You remember to pray. You're feeling pretty strong spiritually. But then you lower your guard. You get hit spiritually through spiritual warfare, and you fall. Now, because you've fallen, you feel guilty, and you stop reading as much. You stop going to church, and you stop praying, all because you feel like you fell short. Well, see, at times like this, it's when you're most vulnerable because you're relying on the breastplate of righteousness. That would be like going into battle with a breastplate made of styrofoam. You don't want to wear a breastplate of styrofoam. You want God's righteousness. When we've sinned, Satan's standing right in front of God saying, hey, this guy's blown it. The devil wants you to feel guilty and condemned. He wants you to experience regret and remorse, but not repent. He wants, and we've talked a lot about repentance in this program, he wants to keep you away from God, and that's his strategy. Again, we're in spiritual warfare here, folks. But when the Spirit of God convicts you, he uses the Word of God in love, seeking to bring you back into fellowship with your Heavenly Father. When the devil says you're not worthy to approach God, that's where the breastplate of righteousness comes in. The breastplate of righteousness will deflect what Satan's saying. It will show that it is a lie compared to God's righteousness. You are worthy to approach God because of what Christ has accomplished. So you need to get in fellowship with God and stay there and keep the breastplate of righteousness on. So let's talk about some application questions. If the breastplate is of righteousness, how can we practically apply Christ's righteousness in today's absolutely stark, raving, insane world with regard to our spiritual warfare battle? So let me also ask, and then I'm going to talk a little bit more. In what ways does Satan commonly attack your heart and your emotions? These are questions for you to ask. And then how do you take rogue thoughts and emotions captive and make them obedient to Christ? Remember, the breastplate is there to guard your heart. So how can we guard our hearts today? One, we can recognize wrong thoughts and emotions and take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. We can fill our minds with Scripture, which then fills our heart with His Word. If we fill our minds and heart with Scripture, with God's Word, there is less opportunity for Satan to tempt us. So I'm going to try and get into the shoes of peace, and there's quite a bit on this, so I'm going to have to zip through this as quickly as I can, and I apologize for zipping. What about the shoes of peace? Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I thought of Ephesians. In Paul's day, the Roman soldiers wore sandals that had hobnails or cleats on the bottom to give them firm-footedness. It's a picture that speaks to someone who can dig in and hold their ground, kind of like cleats on the bottom of golf shoes or football shoes. When I know that my relationship with God is right, I'm not subject to my personal moods or whims, and that's very reassuring. It gives me security and a firm foundation to build my life upon. Well, those sandals do the same thing. They give soldiers mobility so they can move forward in battle. And the word preparation is actually preparation of the gospel of peace, and it could be translated to readiness. It's the idea of being ready and willing to move at a moment's notice. As a soldier under the command of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me I am to be on duty at all times. I should be alert, ready, and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Remember, the soldier is poised and ready. They have sandals strapped on so they can move forward and rise to the occasion. So, what do the shoes of peace represent? They represent readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's peace with God. Remember, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And two, it shows a wrong view of God undermines our sure-footedness and actually destroys our footing. And three, as I just mentioned, readiness comes with spreading the gospel. What does Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 say? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How cool is that? Number four, the shoes represent the peace in our relationship with others. Because Satan seeks to bring division. I mean, what in the world is going on right now today in 2021? Satan's having a heyday. There's division everywhere. Well, let's go back a little bit. Gospel in the Greek word, which I'm not even going to try and pronounce, is simply translated to meaning good news. Remember, in Christ's day, there was no internet. There were no newspapers. The printing press hadn't been developed. You just had scribes. In Christ's days, shoes were what protected the feet of the messenger as well. That was the only mode of communication. So what does Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 say? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of those in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. Well, like I mentioned, armor sandals were also fitted with spikes to hold firm to the ground. But they're, you know, but they protect you from things on the ground as well. Luke chapter 10, verse 19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. In other words, you can traverse the spiritual path that might be painful, knowing that God has given you protection and that we have nothing to fear. The spikes are going to protect me from scorpions on the ground. So, what does Satan do to continually attack your readiness from the gospel of peace? These are questions you have to answer for yourself. In what ways have you personally felt Satan undermine your relationship with others? How has this affected your relationship with God? And then finally, how do you feel personally that God is calling you to put on his footwear? We have about 10 minutes left in our airtime, but I think I'm going to stop here because the Shield of Faith and my wrap-up may take a little bit longer. Shield of Faith is pretty important, so I think we'll pick up there next week. But like I said in all my broadcasts, if any of these sound like areas in your life that you need to work on, I truly encourage you to ask for his help in turning away from what it is you're dealing with. And as with all things, be sin, the need to repent, just ask Jesus to help bring to your attention any areas that may be hidden to you or that you may have even forgotten about, so you can put that behind you and not let that hinder you in the eyes of our Lord, so that you're truly part of the remnant who are called the Bride of Christ. I always, always recommend you pray and ask for his help. If you need any help in this area, please feel free to contact me at info@knowingchrist.com, and I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. And remember, you need to be able to put on the whole armor of God, not just parts. If there's something blocking you from putting on a specific garment we're talking about in this series, or that's part of the armor that we'll talk about in the next several weeks or whatever, please pray for his help. But in that, I do need to add, do not be surprised if the Lord Jesus brings to mind something that may have even transpired depending how old you are, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago in your life. I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned that he brought to mind something from quite a number of decades ago. Well, just this week, he reached back even farther to, going back 57 years to when I was 7 years old on something that I did. And that shocked the heck out of me because, trust me, I forgot about that one. But anyway, that brings us to the end of our show. My point is, don't be shocked. Don't be shocked, really, at anything the Lord does when he wants it. He's amazing. So that brings us to the end of our show. For more information or to contact us, please email us at info@knowingchrist.com. I encourage you to visit our Facebook page and like us in order to stay abreast of our announcements.
I also have a ministry page on MeWe under the same name, Knowing Christ Ministries. I also encourage you to follow us on Blog Talk Radio so that you're notified of each new broadcast. As well, Blog Talk has a full archive of our shows of 10 years now, so I encourage you to take the time to review our full listing. And if a title or series looks like something the Lord's leading you to at any given time, please listen. Till next time, when we continue our discussion on the armor of God and how that can help assure that we are all rapture ready, this is Dr. Danielle West reminding you it's not what you know, but who you know for Knowing Christ Ministries. I wish you a blessed day, and I thank you for listening. We'll see you next week.